You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Like Me is the name of our series, and we're spending 3 weeks just sharing with you the importance of having things in order as we look for acceptance and belonging. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to be a part of something, but it's important to have things in proper order. It's so good to see your faces here today, even though you're dressed like ninjas. It's awesome to see you here. We have plenty of room, so that's great for this season in time. We hope to get through this, right, together. Numbers are looking better. For those of you watching online, we keep inviting you. Come on over. It's great to be here in person. If this is your first time with us or watching or here in person, my name is J.D. Miller. If you came during the music portion, we're so glad to have you here today. The beautiful lady who was here this morning sporting a cool hat is my wife of 19 years last Tuesday. That's right. I know, we were 12 when we got married. We were very, very young. I was way younger. I would just have you know that. It is my joy every year because our anniversary is in the gap before I reach her age. And so every year I get to make this joke. And it doesn't get old. It might get old to you. It does not get old to me. And I will continue to make this joke forevermore. This I vow. It's great to have you guys here today. We like having fun in church. It was awesome to worship together. Wasn't that great? Man, it was awesome. Having also a saxophone here today, huh? Didn't you feel that? You felt the vibe, huh? Yeah. I feel like we should have real wine for communion today. Yeah, we love it. All right, let me start with this series and start with the message with you today. As I said last week, the goal of this message is to help you have an integrated life, to have a life that's well integrated. And the key for you to flourish in your relationships, to have an opportunity to grow, because it's what we want, right? We want relationships to flourish. We want our life to be able to grow, and not only grow to a certain lid. We want to grow exponentially. We want to be able to grow without limit. We want to be able to enjoy every season and be able to grow with it. It's important for us to have our values and what we spend our time, what we put our attention to. It needs to be in proper order. It's important for us to put it in proper order. So last week, we talked about putting God first. I don't know if you got a chance to watch. We got together in our office, and Alini and I had a conversation about putting God first, the importance of having that first, and seeking God with honesty, seeking God with vulnerability, presenting your life to God honestly and openly. And so making him the source of your sustenance and your sustenance. So that's important. It's important because we can all make the mistake of replacing God with other things. If we don't put God first, something will be first. See, we are made to worship. We are made to draw our identity and draw our life from something. And if we don't put God first, something else will become first. A relationship will become first. A career will become first. A hobby might become first. And when that becomes the first thing, it cannot sustain what you are requiring of it. It cannot hold what you're requiring of it. Only God can be your God. You understand that? Nothing else has the capacity, the fortitude to sustain your faith. Only God can handle it. So, you put your faith in your relationship or career, it's not going to end well. So today I want to continue with the second part of this three-part picture of a fully integrated person. And the second part is you. You are the second part. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your health. Because before you can have healthy friendships, before you can have a healthy marriage, before you can have constructive relationships at work, before you can be a good leader, before you can be a good teammate, You need to be a healthy you. You need to have health in your soul, health in your spirit, health in your mind. You got to have a healthy relationship with yourself as well. And for a healthy self, every person needs or should be able to answer these two simple questions with clarity. The first question is, who am I? And the second question is, what am I living for? These are the two questions that every individual should be able to answer. Because these two things are crucial for your emotional health. These two things are very important for you to have stability in life. The world is crazy. It pulls you in all kinds of directions. Circumstances will knock you down if you can't answer these two questions with clarity. Because if you don't know who you are, that means your identity. That means what determines your self-image, your self-worth. If you don't know your purpose, what you are living for, what you are made for, your life's direction, you will begin to seek, like I said, the need to satisfy that need from other things. You will try to pull that from a relationship. You will try to pull that from work, from career, from hobbies, from experiences. Every person needs a healthy identity. And we need meaningful purpose. We want our lives to mean something good. And I got to tell you, I might sound biased because I am a pastor and this is a church. But I don't think there's any other way of life or worldview that can accomplish that, that can lead you to accomplish that, a healthy self-image and a life with purpose than the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the reason why I answered the call, chose to answer this call to ministry, is because I believe that. If there was any other way that was better, I'd probably be doing that. There's no other worldview or way better than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you might not be a church person. Maybe you're here or you're watching. You just, somebody sent you the link. And you're here today. You got invited and you're not a church person. You're not even sure if you're a God person, right? If you believe in God. But you're curious. You're interested. I know this. I know that this is the plight of your life. This is the search of your soul. This is what you're looking for and what you long for. You want to maintain a healthy identity. And you want your life to have meaning, to have meaningful purpose, and you want it to remain meaningful. You don't want to look back in your past and say, my life was meaningful then. I don't know if it is now. I also know this, that if you're a mom or a dad, this is constantly on your mind. How can I raise sons and daughters with a healthy sense of self-worth? How can I raise my son and my daughter knowing who they are and knowing what they're living for? And not just feeding on all the garbage that's out there in the world and in pop culture. How do I lead them toward a meaningful life? This is constantly on our minds, no matter what your background is, no matter what your belief system is. Because identity and purpose are essential. Those are the two things that we desire. And I believe, like I said, no better answer is found than when a person is connected and is living in a thriving, alive relationship with Jesus Christ and is being instructed in the truth of the gospel and the truth of the scriptures. That's when the scripture comes alive. I'm not talking about just preaching people down. No, I'm talking about having a relationship with God. And the beauty of a life with Christ is this. Is that God will not only show you who you are. He will show every single one of us who we are. But He will also show us who we are not. That's what's important as well. Because for many of us, the process to get to a healthy identity is more connected to deconstruction than it is really to finding who we are. We know who we are. We have a sense for who we are. But there are certain things that need to be deconstructed things that we heard, things that we went through. You have to demolish some of the lies that were fed to you, some of the lies that shaped the wrong image that you might have of yourself. Maybe they were formed by words of a parent or a family member that spoke things that were hurtful. Maybe it was the feedback of a teacher, someone that you looked up to, someone that you trusted, a mentor. Maybe it was your first boss that said things that just it stuck with you. You heard things like you're lazy, you're unattractive, you're not good enough, you're never going to amount to anything, and such negative things. And ever since you heard those words, ever since those seeds were sown into your heart, they keep playing back again and again and again. From time to time, they resurge. From time to time, there's a resurgence and you hear them again. You go through an obstacle and you go like, maybe they were right. Maybe that's why I'm facing what I'm facing. They have become your mind's greatest hits. And you can react to that in two ways. You can either succumb to it and say, all right, I guess that's who I am. Or you can live to prove them wrong. Live to prove those words wrong. Live to prove those deeds wrong. And if that happens, either way, it's a problem because you are drawing your identity from that trauma. You're still connected to that pain. You're still connected to that season in your life, to that hurt. Because those words, those deeds are still determining your steps. Whether you're walking away from it or you're fitting right into it, they're still leading you. And that's not God's design for you. I got to tell you, that is not who you are. If that's you, that's not your purpose. Christ has called you to freedom. He has called you to freedom. Now, this is important because it took me about 45 seconds to say that. And I don't want you to just hear it and go like, all right, JD, that's true. And kind of a sort of a truism, right? You're saying all the right things and then you shake your head and then we quickly pass move this. Because this is not easy. Deconstruction of a wrong identity is not an easy thing. Especially if it's been in you for a long time. It's not easy. You know, this is Black History Month, and because Black History Month is really, it started because of Reverend Martin Luther King's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday being in February. That's why it's celebrated in February, if you didn't know that. And so I decided last week that I was going to read Reverend Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham. It had been a little while since I've read it, and I wanted to read it with fresh eyes. And something stood out to me from that letter that I think is fitting to this message. And so I just want to read a brief passage to you from the letter, if you don't mind. Now, it's important to note that this is a letter written to pastors. Pastors who are not supporting and are actually rejecting some of his efforts in Birmingham, Alabama. So I'm modifying a couple of words so I can say it here and not be offensive, because some of the words that he used back then were more common in print and in speech. Here's what he wrote. Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say, wait. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, and even kill your Black brothers and sisters, when you see the vast majority of your 20 million Black brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering as you seek to explain to your 6-year-old daughter why she can't go to the public amusement park that has just been advertised on television, and you see tears welling up in her eyes when she is told that Funtown is closed to colored children, and see ominous clouds of inferiority beginning to form in her little mental sky, and see her beginning to distort her personality by developing an unconscious bitterness toward white people, when you have to concoct an answer for a 5-year-old son who is asking, Daddy, why do white people treat colored people so mean? When you take a cross-country drive and find it necessary to sleep night after night in the uncomfortable corners of your automobile because no motel will accept you. When you are humiliated day in and day out by nagging signs reading white and colored. When your first name becomes the N-word and your middle name becomes boy, however old you are, and your last name becomes John. When your wife and mother are never given the respected title Miss or Mrs. When you are hairy day by day and haunted by night by the fact that you are black, living constantly at tiptoe stance, never quite knowing what to expect next, and are plagued with the inner fears and outer resentments. When you are forever fighting a degenerating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over, and men are no longer willing to be plunged into the abyss of despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. I read this letter. It's worth reading. It's about 22 pages. And he's so eloquent. It's so beautifully written. But there's so much to grapple with. So much pain. So much truth. But I this part caught my eye because I have two daughters who are 6 years old. I have three daughters. One is nine. But the six-year-old thing here really resonated to me with the little girl. Because my daughters are like sponges right now. They learn and they observe and everything I say to them matters so, so much. And their world is being shaped. And as a dad, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, my goodness, that little six-year-old girl is now a mother. That little six-year-old girl is now a grandmother. And she is in our neighborhoods. She is in our grocery stores. She is picking up her granddaughter from school. She is everywhere. Obviously, I'm not talking about just that specific girl. There were thousands, if not millions, of little five-year-old and six-year-old girls and boys when he wrote this letter, who are now grandparents living with us. And sure, the fun towns of the world are open to all children now. And their website may even read Black Lives Matter. But the pain, the scars, the memory, the trauma that they faced, the memories of what was done to their family, her uncles, her siblings, are ever alive. I'm sure she's still dealing with it today. It's not easy. And maybe your pain is not connected to racism. Maybe, like I said before, you faced hell at home. Because somebody who was supposed to love you didn't. Somebody who was supposed to care for you didn't. Maybe it was physical abuse. Maybe it was verbal abuse. And you suffered quietly and nobody knows. There were no marches on your behalf. There were no advocates fighting for you. And those words and those situations are still plaguing you and weighing you down, and your soul thirsts for freedom. You want freedom. I don't want you to think that I'm taking this lightly today. I'm not. And Jesus didn't take it lightly. Jesus took your pain more seriously than any of us. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he suffered, so that he could take your pain, so that he could come into your life and extract those words, extract that past memory, extract that from you, and allow you to overcome, allow you to walk in forgiveness. These are not easy things to overcome. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the cross of Christ to find such freedom. So know today that that's the will of God for you to have a healthy identity. And a healthy identity starts with letting go of the old and embracing than you. This is how you do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 is one scripture that gives us an example. Paul writes, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." Now, that's a harsh sentence, right? And when you hear ignorance there, it sounds like an insult. It sounds like Paul is just insulting people right now. He's not. It's calling someone ignorant today sounds like an insult. But what he's talking about is that because of their hardness of heart, he's revealing something important here. Because their hearts were hardened, because of their ignorance, lack of knowledge or interest is a result of a hardened heart. Let me put it this way. Because life was so tough on them, because they had no connection to God, their hearts were hardened, and they couldn't open their minds to see and to understand. That's what he's trying to say here. And when your heart has suffered harm, when situations have hardened your heart, you become desensitized. You become numb to pursue certain behaviors and practices that are not healthy. They're not wholesome. That's what Paul is talking about here. So he continues. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learn from Christ. Here's when he begins to paint a picture. Assuming that you have heard about him and that you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I got to tell you, for you to receive a new identity, you ought to pursue to be like Christ. There is a new life in Christ. And you do that by putting off the old self and putting on the new self. You let go of the old, and you receive the new. That means that your old self might have been a liar, might have been a cheat. Your old self might have been selfish. You might have deceived people. You might have manipulated people. You might even have used seduction to get people to do what you want them to do. You might have been mistreating of others so that you could get ahead, full of anger, full of resentment. That's your old self. But when you put on the new self, that's no longer you. There's a new identity. There's a new person within. There's a new self because your old self is being crucified with Christ. You're surrendering it over to him. And your new self is confident. Your new self is strong. Your new self is generous. Your new self is truthful, smart, loving, kind, patient, forgiving, determined, purposeful, intentional. Your new self is a good husband, a good dad, a good wife, a good mom. No matter what kind of family you might have come from, no matter what kind of words were spoken over you, no matter what kind of situation you might have faced, you are a child of God. You were part of the family of God, and he invites you into newness of life. That means a new identity in him, a new you, a fresh start. And when you find yourself in him, remember, things in proper order. When you find yourself in him, you will realize you were made for a purpose. That God prepared good works for you. See, Jesus doesn't discourage you from doing great and amazing things. He actually encourages you to go and shine your light. He has given you gifts and talents and abilities for you to shine your light in the world. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's when life gets exciting. That's when life gets great, when you get to share your gifts and talents free of any old identity, free of any hang-ups, free of any regrets, when you get to share the light of God with the world, Share His goodness. Share His love. When your conversations, your profession, your pursuits are full of light, full of goodness, when you beam goodness and joy and kindness and patience and forgiveness, that's what God wants for you. That's His desire for you, to get you out of the old and into the new. Because remember, you can't give others what you don't have. You can't bring into the world what you don't have it yourself. So God is inviting you to connect to Him, to receive a new identity so that you can be purposeful and meaningful and change your world around you. So that your family line can be transformed. All of that will happen when you have a healthy identity and you know who you are. That's when the Father, that's when God will continue to lead you into a purposeful life. So if you're wondering, why am I here for? Who am I? What am I here for? Let me tell you, you're a child of God, a new creation. And your identity is found in Him. And your purpose is to witness God's way of life. To allow God to shine His light through you in everything that you do, in your profession, in your family, in your relationships, to shine His light. Imagine the heights you can reach when you live in that kind of freedom. Imagine how you can push your family line forward. Some of the things that you look back and you say, I don't want my family to be like that. God is rescuing you from that. And He's allowing you to start fresh and anew with a new identity. No matter what curse, no matter what things are in them, you can break them. You can walk in freedom. You can establish blessings in place of curses. You can walk in joy instead of mourning. God wants to show out in your life. He does. Now let me tell you this too. Identity and purpose is not a one and done thing. It's a process. You might say, JD, I tried. I did it. I tried, I did it, I connected, I did the thing, and I took the communion, I was baptized, and I read the Bible for like a month straight. Every day. It didn't happen for me, JD. To you, you don't discover who you are in a couple months. It's a process. It's a process of connecting and growing in God. Drawing your identity and purpose from God is a constant process that ebbs and flows according to the seasons of your life. As you develop, as you grow the stages and seasons of life, God will guide you. He will lead you. And for us, if you have decided to take on this life, if you have decided to engage in this life, this process is important. And I want to encourage you to not only engage and say, God, I want to receive my identity from you. Not only say, yeah, I want a purposeful life, but practice this. This is what Paul ends the letter of Corinthians with. And look at what he says to these guys. Are believers, okay? These guys are like you, like coming to church, congregating, connected. Some of them were, you know, just on the fence, but they were cool with Jesus and all that. But most of them were committed to the way of Jesus. This is what he writes, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Examine yourselves. Now, I've been blessed with good health. And for my entire adult life, I've never gone to the doctor. I know, it was a point of pride for me. When I moved to Connecticut, I finally decided to go to the doctor when I was 35, and I went in for a physical. Had never broken a bone, never had anything serious enough for me to go to the hospital. So the doctor asked me for my medical history, and I told him, I don't have one. Who's your doctor in Houston, Texas? I didn't have a doctor in Houston, Texas. She looked at me like it was a caveman. She's like, what? I don't have a file on you? I was like, no. And she was like, you're off the grid or something? Like, who are you? I just never needed to go. And so she asked me, like, what's the reason for your visit then? Why are you here? I said, well, you know, my wife and I started this church, and I'd like to invite you to come this Sunday. No, I'm kidding. I did tell her about the church. But I showed up and I said, you know, I'm 35 years old now. And this was a couple years ago, okay? I was 35 years old now, and I figured, you know, I have three daughters, and I want to make sure I'm doing things right. I want to make sure, like, my levels are okay, and I'm eating right, and things are okay. Like, I just want to make sure. So she examined me, and she checked my weight. She checked my height. She pressed in my belly. For some reason, they like doing this, right? And and then she ordered a lot of blood, like, to be drawn. And the blood went into a lab, and they looked at my blood, and they looked for glucose and cholesterol and triglycerides, right? All of that good stuff and all the levels. And she looked at the data. She didn't take my word for it. She didn't just say, "What'd you eat yesterday? All right, I think you're good." She looked at the data, and this is what I find interesting. Too many people fail to take their identity and purpose with that level of seriousness. We allow ourselves to get to a point where our spiritual life is nearly dead. There are severe symptoms that appear, and we don't do anything until they become really crippling. We wait until the depression, the anxiety, the anger, the greed, the lust, the addiction, until they get to a debilitating point before we do anything about it, before we open our hearts to God. And I want to encourage you today to be proactive, because your identity and purpose, they matter. It matters who you are. It matters what you're living for. So you got to examine yourself constantly, constantly. Go to the scriptures. Go to God and ask yourself the questions. Is my identity rooted in God's image? Or am I drawing my identity from my profession? Is what I do becoming who I am? Is my identity rooted in God's picture for my life? Or am I grabbing my identity from this relationship, from this promotion, from how much money I make? Am I living for God's purpose and the purpose that He has for me? Or am I selling myself to someone else's or something else's purpose? Listen, you will have troubles and you will have circumstances in life that will constantly trying to knock you down and pull you away from God's identity and purpose for your life. So it's important for us to examine ourselves and do a self-inventory constantly. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And if you do that, if you align your heart and you connect to God, you draw your identity and purpose from Him, I believe you're going to see yourself renewed, restored. Your mind will not desire the things of the world anymore. Your mind is not going to desire some of those ill practices, some of those bad habits that you're trying to get rid of. And as you practice goodness and kindness and mercy, as you love others, as you shine God's light in the world, your heart and your spirit is going to go through new levels of faith. You'll be empowered and strengthened to nurture healthy relationships. And you will be able to engage relationships in a way that you will enrich them. That you will bring goodness to their lives. That you will shine your light into the world in a way that you will begin to change the world. And when we all are in that place, changing the world together, man, hold us back, because we're going to change the world. Right? That's next week. We're going to talk about relationships next week and the third element of a well-integrated person. No person is an island. You need healthy people around you. You need good relationships around you. You need to be connected to a network of community that is healthy. And you know, you can bring health into your world and your family as well. We're going to talk about that next week. So I hope you tune in. But until then, do you receive it this morning? Amen. Awesome. I want to call the worship team back, the band back.